just confess it. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All I am in need of. Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus, you're here. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're here. We know all things are possible. Thank you, Lord. Now that you're here, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Amen. Let's bow our heads to Him tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, how glad are we to be in your presence, Lord, to know that you're here, Lord. Lord, to seek you while you may be found. Lord, to know that you give that assurance, Lord, that, Lord, we can rest in you, Lord. Rest from the cares of this world. Rest from the darkness of this age, Lord, in your presence, Lord. All seated together, Lord. One family, one church, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before you, Lord, asking you to just settle down our spirits in your presence, Lord. We need you tonight more than we ever have before, Lord. Because we are wanting a new experience, Lord. Lord, not resting on the laurels of even this afternoon, Lord, but wanting more, Lord, to press deeper, higher, Lord, into you, Father. Lord, just take away every evil spirit that would try to disrupt, Lord, what you're doing in the service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, we rebuke you in Jesus Christ's name. Take your hands off of God's property. Now, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be preeminent, Lord, over each one here tonight, Lord. And you take full control, Lord, and authority, Lord, of us and through us for the glory of God. Lord, have your way tonight, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, we just turn in our Bibles. Just thank you, musicians. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate that special. I was so surprised to see Brother Jim here. I met him, like I said, back at Brother Tim's dedicational meetings. I think it was 2007, 2008. And from what he tells me, I can't remember the details, that he had been in, lived in Minnesota back in the 60s or 70s. You're born here. Well, with a name, last name like Swanson, you're just practically family. So God bless you. Thank you so much for singing tonight and blessing us. So let's turn to Mark and chapter 4. Passage we've heard many times, but we just want to roll it over it again, or not roll over it again. We want to dive into it and understand it greater, see what the Lord has for us. And we know this story. It's the parable of the sower and the seed being sown. We won't go through the whole passage. Seed falling on different types of ground. So let's read verse 3 first, and then we'll skip down to verse 7 in chapter 4. He taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and yielded no fruit. And let's just go into the interpretation of when the disciples said, Lord, what does this mean? In verse 14, let's just skip down to verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they which were by the wayside, which the word was sown. And when they had heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And having no root in themselves, so endured but for a time afterward. When affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they, and this is where I want to really emphasize, which are sowing among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it cometh unfruitful. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, many know perhaps where I'm going with this already, Father. But Lord, we know each one of us here, Lord, wants to be more fruitful for the kingdom of God, Lord. To, Lord, not let any part of our lives, Lord, choke the word of God. Lord, please quicken the word to us this evening, Lord. Just get the hearer and the receiver, speaker, out of the way, Father. And just you speak to us tonight, Lord. For your words are more than life to us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, have your way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And we all know that Brother Don's been preaching on hearing and obeying, and that the conversation has to happen. We have to have that discourse with the Lord first. Disciples had to have Jesus in the boat to wake up Jesus. They were in the right place. We always look at, they were of little faith, but they had Jesus in the boat. And so that when we're calling on Jesus, or when Jesus is calling on us, we want to have that. We're already in the middle of conversation with Him. We're already in the middle of relationship with Him. It's not this afterthought. Our time with Him, it's as Spurgeon said, the ovens of preparation are warm. It's this wonderful thing that it's the oven's still hot. And I walk with the Lord, and I thought that this just how the Lord used Brother Don on Sunday just to lay that out about just this supernatural interaction of Him speaking to us and us hearing, and it's revelation, and we know that it's revelation, and we are the planting of the Lord. We're talking about planting here tonight, and that as Isaiah says, that we may be called trees of righteousness. That this is a planting of the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing. But we live in an age, as we know that, just that last church age, there's that little point of light, and we can see that just in that same, analogy of the sower and the seed and those thorns, we can look at that as that darkness, that surrounding and trying to choke out that light. So much is pressing in. And we live in an age of anxiety. Like Brother Branham said, we live in a very neurotic age. And why is that so important? Because the greatest battle ever fought is right here. So he's highlighting something that's really relevant to our battle. So if we can just be aware and ask God to help us to be able to pay attention tonight. I thought that was really interesting, is just to keep track, is that the number one thing in the thorns, for the thorns, was what was the first thing? Was the cares of the world. Oh my goodness, to think of that. And it's funny because we just want cares of the word, not of the world. Praise God. And so if you look at that word, just to break it down, because we all, like Brother Don so displayed much better than I, is that word has a meaning to us. And if we have the wrong meaning, we're going to go the wrong direction. So to be able to go back in the original and see where is the direction that the God intended exactly for this. It means care. It means anxiety. And it's through the idea of distraction. So this means distraction. And it's interesting because distraction isn't in the Bible. It's not even I think it's a very... it's a very... a word of today. Even if you look it up, distraction or distract in the tapes, and it's only mentioned, I think, 3 times. And it was, Brother Branham was distracted with a question. It was very like, he didn't even, it wasn't a language that we used in Scripture or even in maybe Brother Branham's sermons. But it just made me think of like the thorns of the distractions of the world. And then, so then next, we see, in Mark 4:19, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And we're not going to dive too much into that, this time. But then the lusts, but let's just write that down anyway. So it's the thorns of the deceitfulness of riches, deceit of riches. And then the third one, in verse 19, and the lusts of other things. And I thought, what does that mean? Because there's a reason, that is there. And the lusts of other things, entering in. So this is all encompassing. I thought that was interesting. Of other things. How many believe we're in a day of other things? And then I believe if this is an entering in, that's when it's trouble, right? When Satan tries to come in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. So we have to have a standard from all this trying to come in and choke out the word in our lives. And you're probably saying to me already, but, didn't Brother Branham say that God prepares the ground and the seed falls there? Yes, and praise God that's coming to your mind, because it's God's sovereignty that He prepares our ground, and that we don't want to say, it's our job to prepare the ground and everything. No, that's Him. That it's God gives us revelation. He prepares that ground. When we have things in our lives, He's the one that pulls the weeds. But how does He do it? Just like so many times we hear in Scripture and been hearing lately, is we hear His voice and say, Stephen, that's not right. Ouch. You need to pull that weed. I want to pull that weed out of you. It's not just that we just sit on the couch and He just starts pulling weeds. No, he's it's hearing, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Let him obey, let him act, let him do. So it's Him in us, the planting of the Lord. So we want to make sure that's clear. This is the sovereignty of God, but yet when He calls us to do something, we hear and obey, because He's revealed something to us to do. So we live in this age where it's just all this anxiety. In the West, he mentions in verse 19. Just wanted to kind of highlight this. Verse 19. These are those who heard the word, and the anxieties of the present age, and the deceitfulness of wealth, and the passionate desires with reference to the rest of the things not in these categories entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So the passionate desires with reference to the rest of the things not in these categories, which but if you look at it, it's the in the Scripture, it means the residue or the rest of the other things. When Brother Jason was preaching about wisdom and how that wisdom cuts through the nonsense. So we find the will of the Lord. You look at Jesus by the well, and they said, come on, Jesus, let's go get food. And that was nonsense. His meat was to do the will of His Father. He knew that. That was his bread. Let's one thing that I think that we overlook, saints of God, is we give excuse because we're busy. And it becomes all encompassing that we're busy and therefore it's okay to not have time with the Lord. We the Lord understands. This is for me, I know. It's that busyness, that place of just doing and doing. Well, God wants me to be a provider. Okay, praise God. But there's how is it, can we get too busy? Brother Branham, he was preaching. He says, talking about when Jesus was in the Pharisee's house, God walked in the door and nobody paid attention to him. They were too busy. And that's what we are today. We're too busy making proselytes. We're too busy to see if this person's baptized correct or not. We're too busy to see what position he has and what we can do with him in the church. We're too busy with people and the things of the church to let Christ come by without entertaining him. We're too busy to see that everything's carried on just so and so. We fail to entertain Jesus after we've invited him into our place. Ouch, that hurts on a personal level. Many times you're too busy at home in your home life. You've got so many things you have to do. You can't take time to pray. Just too busy. That's what happened there. And he goes on to say, oh, I wish I could have been that flunky. And I think all of us would have said, oh, I wish I could have been that flunky. Or would you tarry with me 1 hour? Oh, I wish I could have tarried with you. We can right now. Praise God. So to know that he's wanting us, like that one quote where he says, don't let the washing hinder. Don't let the work hinder. Don't tell anybody, he says. And I say, wow, I don't know if that's going to go over very good at home if I check out. And yet we have license and permission from the prophet of God for the age to say, just don't tell anybody. Get outside on the side of the road somewhere, park your car, or get in a ditch somewhere and get time with God. Loyal was telling me, my brother was telling me about, I think it's like it's like Peterson's law. Peter, you might know, not because it's Peterson's law, but because it's something like that, where basically where there's room, it will just fill. So if you have your schedule, say you work from eight to five, and then you have to go to bed at 9, just anything that is idle, it just fills up the time. Like just nonsense will fill up that time. It's they call it in the corporate world managing your transitions, and we could get all corporate-y and how we can do that and whatnot. But the point is to know that there is time that we have in our day that's unemployed, that's idle time, whether we like it or not. But to be disciplined, each one of us, and I applaud each father and mother as a provider, and I applaud each young student and working. Young person that is doing so much to be diligent, and yet I can speak for all of us. We would all agree that we're too busy with things that we can't account for everything that was justifiable. Our generation doesn't always know what to do. If you've noticed that, we're sometimes our generation is a little bit purposeless, and maybe I'm just speaking for me, and that's when we can get distracted. Sometimes just to be in a moment of waiting. Have you ever had that before, where you're waiting for work to start, or you're waiting for someone to get home, and so it's that time where we can get distracted. And then when we get distracted, usually it goes into a cycle of, oh, I'm distracted. I feel guilty. I should do something. And what I do, Josh, is I just do anything. Just to make me feel fulfilled. Just, oh, now I'm busy. It's okay. I'm busy. Just to do something. Okay, I'll just take care of something. Rather than saying, no, what should we be looking at? You know, one thing is needful, that we sit at his feet. That's first and foremost. So we have the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. We can call them non-fruitful distractions. Can we say that? We'll just say those other things are unfruitful distractions. Fruitful. And again, it's that praise God for the Holy Spirit and wisdom to say that's nonsense. I'm going to cut that out of my life, to take the pruning shears of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God, and to lop those things out of our life. I've heard said that if you want to get into something new, you have to let go of something else in your life. That you can't make room for both. Something has to go, and we know we can't serve God and man. And we serve what's important to us. Amen. what we have cares. We're cumbered with a load of cares, as the song says. But what did Peter say in 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your cares upon Him. And I thought this is so interesting, is that word that is like this unrighteous cares of anxiety is, and I'm going to say this wrong, merimna. So it's this, we're just going to get a little bit technical here, but just to understand. So that's merimna. And but when it says cast all your merimna on Him, for He cares for you, it's actually a different word. It's in righteousness, it is a mel, I don't know if you can see that or not, but it's basically it's mel I, but it's a care and concern and a regard for. It's just needing some water. I have some water here. I know how it feels to, here, please. To that He takes our cares. He has concern that He does something about it. When we have cares, it's a righteous care. Now it's His concern. Casting all, how unrighteous would it be? The Lord is our example. If it was casting all our anxiety upon Him, for He's anxious for us. But to think that he has that righteous concern and He can actually do something. And that's important because the cares of this world are unfruitful. It doesn't help at all, right? That's unhelpful. It doesn't help us one bit to be stuck in that way. So we know our solution is to cast those cares upon the Lord. For he takes care. He cares for us. He regards our needs. Amen. So, cares choke out the fruit of that supernatural working of God. And it chokes out that logos in our life, that word. And I thought this was really key is when I was listening Sunday, just thinking about the sermon on Sunday, to think that God is this voice. You know, he's speaking to us, and here's our ear to hear if we will, and the voice is there, the ear is there, but sometimes I feel like this happens where we have there's the cares right there where they choke the hearing. Right there, where we're all of a sudden choked. And you could say, boy, Stephen, that's a really simple sermon. You know, maybe it's almost like I have a big piece of paper up here. It's saying that, and then a lot of arrows right here, choke. Because that's really what our life is. It's the world is trying to choke out, entering in, right? The cares of this world, entering in, choke the word from being. But that Logos, that Holy Spirit, from being effective in our life for us and for others. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. That word choke in the scripture, it means to choke utterly the seed of the divine word sown in the mind. The seed of the divine word sown in the mind. To suffocate, to drown. So it's that all pressing in. It's the same word for when they pressed around Jesus, where he was just almost feeling suffocated, where it's just pressing in. And isn't that a picture of today? All the things that press in our time. And I think that's why we say I'm busy, is because I'm busy with everything trying to press in, and I'm trying to figure out which one is the one I'm supposed to be doing, is really what it is. So Lord, you know, thank God he said it. He gives wisdom to all men liberally. Aren't you glad for that? And again, that was so good. Wisdom is to be able to see what is nonsense and not nonsense, and then to be able to act. And I thought that was just really, really wonderful. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. And let's just go to verse 38. Luke 10, 38. And now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, there it goes. There was a channel that wasn't choked. I've never thought about that before. Before the story even plays out, which we all know where it's going, is that she was already sitting and hearing his word. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Do you know what that word cumbered means? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's parespeo, and it means drawn away, distracted, to be driven about mentally, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. I thought, wow, she was saying, I'm busy. And I thought, that is so me. That is so me. Oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I'm too busy to answer Derek's texts when he's texted me for the third time. And I haven't texted him in a week. That we're so busy about a thing. Again, those other things that we have. Let's continue on. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came unto him and said, Lord, dost thou not what?
Care.
And you could tell, like, that was her value. And she's saying, I care. Mary doesn't care. Okay, somehow she thought, well, rather than telling Mary to get up, she's saying, I'm just going to go to the Lord and he can tell her. Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Like, aren't you anxious? Aren't you, you're thinking, like, isn't she supposed to be helping me?
Hallelujah.
Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. And that, again, there's that word troubled is that same word, anxious, about many things. There we see it again, that those thorns poking in on us, right? Doesn't it feel like thorns sometimes, saints of God? It's like sometimes just notifications of emails, just this and that, just poking at you. Just even Facebook has a poke button, you know, just try to get you caring so much about so little about the other things. But one thing is needful. Hallelujah. Can we just say one thing is needful? Can we read that? But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, Lord, that's my heart tonight, saints of God. We can't let it be taken away from us. Somehow, Martha let it be taken away from her. Perhaps she had it before, but in that moment, how many times I've thought about this? Have you thought about this? Maybe at the cross, or maybe after he descended, did she think, boy, he was right. It really didn't matter if I was making him dinner or not. Boy, it really didn't matter that I had to have the house clean for him or not. If I could have just been listening to those words at his feet, that was the most important part. If I could just sit there again for that time, I'm sure it drove her so much more to have that presence with that time with the Lord. It will not be taken away from her. Amen. This is from Hear His Voice in 55. So many things to dull the senses of the people today. Oh, but in the midst of all that, in spite of every dulling and every voice that's in the world today, some of them pleasure voices. Some of them are sinful voices to lure the people. But in the spite of every bit of that, the truth of God still remains. He that will hear my voice and come after me. How many want to come after him tonight? Amen. Men and women will hear the voice of God. God still waits to speak to every individual that will open their ears to hear God's voice. So again, there's our part. You can say, well, no, praise God, it's a prepared ground. He's sovereign. But will open their ears to hear His voice. If a man who is a pastor, many times people say, couldn't you do this? Couldn't you run over here? Couldn't you do this? Oh, I love to do it, but I've got to stay in the presence of God if I'm going to do the thing that's right. Then people say, oh, Brother Branham is one of those isolationists. That's not it. I love people, but there's just thousands of them. But I must stay with Him to find out what He'd have me tell them. And I just feel that spirit, that imp spirit, saying, well, that's because He was a prophet of God. Don't worry about that. Like, you know, you don't want to be like that because that's just for prophets. That's a bald-faced lie, because just because He had thousands of people, He heard from God the same way that we're required to hear from God, is to get on our knees and pray, to seek the Lord, to ask, seek, knock. It's the same thing that we have to do. To find out what He'd have me to tell Him. Somewhere, just listen. He'll have something for you that He wants you to know about. Pastor, don't you ever get too busy? But you can't stay in the presence and listen for His voice? God always keeps His word. And no matter how bad the times may be, how much your church may teach against it, Jesus Christ is still willing to speak that still small voice to anybody that will listen for Him. He's still ready to do it if we just quieten ourselves. And we live in that age, again, it's so, like you said, so many things to dull us. So many things to dull our minds. And it's an age where men go to work and they exercise their mind all day, more than their muscles. Because it's the age of information age, right? So that we use our minds to work more than our muscles, perhaps. And so that when it comes to now the things of God, Bethany can tell you, just when I just get a busy day of, you know, 400 or 500 members through my line as a cashier, and it just, you get home and you don't have anything left in your brain. And yet God calls us to not give everything to our job. And it's amazing, because I realized that. I said, I'm doing this wrong. I was giving everything to my job, where I wasn't leaving anything, any of my mind left for my family, for my children's questions, for the Lord. And it's to make room for Him. And I think tonight, like, we can all say, even without the appropriateness of being around the holidays, that Jesus is looking out there, you know, for that stable for Him to be birthed in our hearts. He's looking for that. He's standing outside the door, knocking at our hearts to be open. To open up to Him. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door, and I will open the door and sup with him, and he with me. Amen. One thing is needful, O my Father. One thing is needful. Another thing is that for us, we have that prepared ground, right? And so many times, I'm just going to just confess to you, is that I have let that ground just be dormant. It's unfruitful. Like, it, again, the other things, there's nothing, there's no evil planted in it. There's no good planted in it. You know, just get away from listening to tapes, just be almost like under a spiritual siege, where just nothing, I'm not listening to any sermons. I'm not reading any of my Bible. And it just becomes prey for the enemy to just come in and start planting, just like that parable of the house swept clean. That can choke our experience as well, because, you know, you see a field that's not used for anything, and what comes up, just the weeds, because it's not being used, it's idle. And I know that each minute of our life, we have the choice to employ. Amen. Every minute of our life, I've seen many of you here. I know that if, like, for Josh, he has to get up extra early in the morning. As soon as he owns his own company, all of a sudden now he's getting up extra early. And tomorrow morning, too. And for David, gets up extra early. So we have to leverage, because of our goals, we leverage that. We make time. We don't provide occasion for the flesh, but praise God, we can provide occasion for the Spirit. Amen? I was in the car the other day, and because I commute 2 hours a day for work, I just record audio of my list of to-dos. And it just came out of me because I was just doing everything I could. And it reminded me of that scripture, having done all, stand. And I was realizing that righteous patience is when we've done everything and are now waiting. That's righteous patience is when we've done everything and are waiting. Versus just waiting on the Lord and we haven't done anything. It's just like a sower in a field. What does he do? He doesn't wait for God to give the increase with an empty field. He does the hoeing and he digs up everything. He pulls out those rocks and he does all the, everything that he can and plants that seed, plants as much seed as he can. Because Nate Painter, you know, used to work for Green Stuff when they would plant seed, and if they wanted to get weeds to die, they would just plant more seed. So this isn't about just don't let the world choke out the word. Let the word choke out the world. Amen. That's how you do it. You plant seed, good seed, over that, and just let it choke out the world in our lives. Amen. So, Lord, help us. Let's just as we're getting ready to close, back to Mark chapter 4. So simple, saints of God. It's hear and obey. And he's sovereign. But just listen and obey. Chapter 4. And we see the end of the matter. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And it's interesting, if you go back to when he had said it in verse 8, he ended it in verse 9 with, he said unto them, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Again, it's that key to the whole parable. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. Now Jesus, at 12, was our example, said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? No wonder the voice of God is a rare thing today. It's smothered out. Lord, help me. I know I've smothered out the Lord in my life so many times. By so many different voices, so many things that dim and take away. It's got to be a place until it dulls our senses, until we can't hear the voice of God. Just like Brother Derek was preaching about how that we can physically eat the wrong food until we go blind and deaf. Because it dulls our senses. Our senses of where we ought to shake ourselves and realize that you are men and women and you are the creation of God and you're put here to serve Him. Amen? Amen. Lord, help us to not be too busy. Lord, help us. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, my heart is so pricked tonight, Lord. And Lord, if this isn't just to be sober, to be vigilant, Lord, against the attack of the enemy, but Father, to know, Lord, that we have that sweet communion with you, Lord, that we can know what it looks like to live in this world that's pressing in like thorns on every side, and yet have that sweet communion with you, the speaker, and us, the hearer, Lord. You can act out your work in us, Lord, in that surrounding of darkness, and yet we're walking in the light as you're in the light, Lord. You're flowing through us, Lord, and your word isn't choked out, Lord, through reasoning, through men's theology. But Lord, we're walking in you, Lord. Lord, we want to walk this evening, Lord, in more of you, Father, just to recognize the devil at every one of his tactics, Lord. Everything is so other things. Just other things. A lot of things aren't wrong. They're just other. They're just not fruitful, Lord. We want to bear much fruit for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, as I say these things, Lord, my heart is just so burning, Lord, because I know that your heart is just emphasizing that, Lord, tonight, Lord, and I don't know how to explain it, Lord. But Lord, you can see everything and know everything, and you built the world by wisdom, Lord. You're the most doer of all doers, Lord. Lord, and you want to do through us, Father, that have the spiritual gifts through us, Father, but most importantly, that love driving through us, Lord. Lord, help us to not be dull, Lord, by the things of the world. Help us to know the will of the Lord. May it, Lord, be more important than food, Lord. Lord, we want to just sit at your feet, Lord. We want to be there, Lord, in the beginning, Father, to not think of all the times that we've regretted, Lord, but, Lord, to say, today's the day I can sit in your presence. Lord, help me, Father. Just continue to reveal yourself unto each one of us, Lord. It's by your sovereignty, Lord, that you pull on our hearts, Lord, that you make us convinced and concerned, Lord. Help us, Father, we pray, Lord. Lord, it's a sobering time, Father. Time is coming to a close, Lord. We don't want anything, Father, to choke out the life, Lord. It doesn't have to be just the sin of the world. It could just be unbelief for healing, or it could be any unbelief for a financial need. Anything that somehow we're just choking out our own Jehovah Jireh trying to come in and meet our need, or choking out our Jehovah Rapha coming in to meet our need. For somehow, Lord, we don't want to let anything choke out the word, Lord, but we just want to be in your presence, Lord, until you can just drop that faith down in our heart, Lord, to open up those channels, Lord, to let you flow through us, Lord, and meet that need, Father. We thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord, and commit your word into your hands, Lord. Work on us, Lord. Grow us, Lord. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We need you, Lord. Give us the heart to obey, Lord, out of love to you, Lord. It's not law, Father, Lord, that we do this, Lord, but we want to obey you out of love, Father. We thank you now. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing that I desire, one thing if I desired of the Lord, that would I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. O Lord, to behold you, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of Lord. One more time. Oh, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that word I seek after, that I might dwell in the house. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. What a difference. Modern Christianity, where everybody's content to just be a church member and occupy a pew spot, where God is calling the kingdom people. He wants to speak to them. He wants them to listen to Him. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to open up His Word. He wants to, generally in the Word and specifically in your life. And I think more and more recently, for some reason, how, you know, Jesus said, like, to people wanting to follow Him, you know what? Do you know where you're going to sleep tonight? I don't have a place to lay my head. How contrary it was to the humanity, you know, sending out His 12, like we said a couple of weeks ago, don't take anything with you, you know. You're not going to get any alibis, and you're not going to get any pedestals to stand on. People will turn you in. They'll hate you. They'll rebuke you. But you walk with Me. Yeah. You know, it's so contrary to the human aspect of things. And at some reason, I'm getting the call of the Holy Spirit to go farther and deeper into that. You're born into a kingdom. You're born into a different realm. Like Brother Branham says, you're such an oddball to the world because you're in it, but not of it, this one. And in that one, there's this voice constantly calling. Truly. Constantly calling, I want to commune. I want to, and as Brother Branham says that, you know, He did all of this so He could fellowship with us. And that's what he wants more than anything, is our fellowship. Amen. But, you know, even in the message, Brother Jim, you would travel quite a bit. I'm content to go to church. I can press play. I can do whatever. I can go to, I'm okay because I'm under this ministry. I go there. But you look at the personal, where's your walk? What's God doing? What's He developing in you? What's going on? And see, it's that wonderful thing, Stephen, that He wants so... He doesn't want that. So it's that place where all of us, again, as we've said so many times, it's a time of self-examination, isn't it? Let's look in the mirror of the Word of God and just say, okay, open my eyes and clear out the channels so we can truly have that intimacy with our Father. Sons, in the image of the firstborn Son, with that perfect relationship with Father. So precious, isn't it? It's what we're living for. Nothing else matters. Really. Love it. Thank you. Word of God ever true. 55, I think, isn't it? In the handouts? Nope. Yeah, 56. In the handouts. Would you stand with me? Oh, by the way, Brother Alfred just texted. He says, excuse me. All right. Kindly pray for God's grace and mercy to touch... Huh? To touch my entire body and heal me. Yeah, he's sick. Okay. Yeah, Peter, would you lift up Brother Alfred right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. to the kingdom heart, that word is always true. No matter what the symptoms are, we just keep plowing through, and the symptoms come and plow us over and beat you down and beat you up. You still hold on. You still hold on. God's word is true. I don't care. Well, your symptoms are going to kill you. It doesn't make any difference. The word of God is still true. Period. Let's see. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us hope. In this world, where'er we roam, the word of God will lead us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. With open hearts, so let the word of God impart. Holy words of our faith, manifested to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. The holy word long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. How could we ever thank you enough, Lord? How could we ever thank you for being such a great God, for calling us your sons and your daughters, calling us out of the world, calling us unto yourself. Father, calling us and say, here, I'm going to give you an ear to hear. I'm going to give you eyes to see, and I'm going to give you a desire in your heart to believe me, to follow me, to love me. Oh, grace, grace, Father. We know that we'll spend all eternity praising the name of our God, giving glory to Him, world without end. Oh, Father, there's something in us even tonight saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, as we sing. Our hearts long to be with you, Father. Done with this world. It's a kingdom calling us, Father, and we're kingdom people. Thank you, Lord, for it is you that has brought that identification into our hearts, made it so real that we walk after it every day, just like Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Father, we give you praise now. Thank you for bringing Brother Jim for fellowship, Lord. We just bless him, keep him, protect him, watch over him, Father. Keep us all now. We commit ourselves into your hands. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.